On our morning show today from WRCO, we are here to talk about senior life solutions. We have guests from the Richland Hospital is here, Haley Fosterling, we have Christine Olson and Robin Hausman. We're going to talk about what they do. Christine and Robin are therapists. And Haley, you're kind of heading up this venture here to the morning show studios. Talk about a little bit what you do.
Okay, so I'm the program director for senior life and also the program nurse on staff. So I help with like assessments and evaluations and things like that.
Tell us why this is an important visit to the morning show today.
Well, it's Mental Health Month, so always spreading word about that and the importance of care in that aspect is huge.
So tell us a little bit about Senior Life Solutions. I mean, it's kind of a all-encompassing title, isn't it?
So we are an intensive outpatient group therapy program that generally treats 65 and older adults. So we generally help with those depression, anxiety symptoms, but it also could be related to grief or isolation, things like that.
So 65 is just kind of a number that you throw out there. Could be a little bit
younger. They could be younger. Yeah, we've seen all sorts of circumstances, maybe a little younger than 65. It all just depends on where they're at in their life.
Robin, let's talk a little bit about self-compassion. That's one of the topics you wanted to talk about today.
Sure. So that this is one of the topics we're covering in our group and individual therapy sessions. It's a very broad and wonderful topic to consider this special Mental Health Awareness Month. And self-compassion really means just responding to yourself with kindness instead of criticism, especially during those difficult moments in life. So many people are hard on themselves and they think things like, I should be stronger or I shouldn't feel this way. But self-compassion helps us replace that sharp judgment with more understanding. And it's not about making excuses for why you aren't able to do things or accomplish your goals, but it's about recognizing that we're human and we're deserving of care too.
I think we're all guilty of that a little bit, you know, and it's unfair sometimes to compare ourselves with someone else and what they're going through too, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Comparison can get us into a lot of different thinking traps and increase those symptoms that are related to depression and anxiety for sure. But it's also really important just because it can, if we're activating self-compassion, we can reduce some of those symptoms I mentioned. Because self-criticism makes it difficult to deal with emotional distress, but we can build emotional and emotional strength and resilience through developing some of those skills. So, as therapists, we're working in the group therapy environment to come together with our group members who are open to talking about those things and being willing to learn from one another and also learn from our great treatment plans and things like that.
I think, Christine, we're all a little bit like Eeyore sometimes, mm-hmm. You know? I mean, if we're a little bit down on ourselves earlier in life, it probably doesn't get any better as we age, does it?
Yeah, it's funny you bring up Eeyore because we were just talking about Eeyore this week in group. And I think everyone maybe has a little love for Eeyore, feeling pretty down and negative and getting stuck, like you were talking about, like Robin was talking about, in that thought trap, feeling pretty self-judgmental and kind of taking all the blame and the guilt and shame. And that's just kind of touching the surface of some of the emotions that our patients are dealing with in therapy. But yeah, I think, you know, it's the Eeyore of it. And we can learn a lot about putting more kindness and compassion and love to ourselves and also doing that for other people and how that just helps us heal a bit.
One of the things too is with family members. So what I'll pose to both of you, what should family members do, or how do you encourage someone?
Sure. So our program accepts referrals from anyone. Anyone can make a referral for someone who they're concerned about. Just by giving us a call, we'll walk you through that process. But it's important to keep an eye on the people we love and care about and to notice things like maybe they're withdrawing from activities or withdrawing from connection or isolating themselves. Maybe they've been dealing with grief for quite some time or in a way that it impacts their daily life or their functioning. We also see patients who are dealing with complex health issues and trying to navigate how that changes their lives. So being able to notice when someone is showing symptoms like you know, maybe they're sleeping more than usual, or having changes in appetite, or, you know, increased muscle tension, low moods that you're noticing, sadness, tearfulness. Granted, all of those things are part of life as being humans, but when we notice that those are really impacting daily functioning, we encourage you to give us a call, and we will help guide the way to that referral process.
Does someone need to see their doctor before they see you guys? How does that work, Christine?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think we're all used to having to kind of jump through bridges or jump through hoops to get to the bridge too. Resources, but our program is pretty accessible. We don't need any sort of specific type of referral. Someone could self-refer. You could refer a friend, a neighbor, a client, whomever. It doesn't have to be a doctor. Certainly, your doctor can help connect you as well. Our doctors in this area are very knowledgeable in mental health in our program and can help support that referral, but doesn't have to be a doctor.
I think we get some aches and pains, and even more as we age, it kind of it just kind of snowballs sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you go in for the aches and pains, it kind of opens the door a bit for us to bring up some of those other emotions that we're having because of the aches and pains. And also, though, recognizing that the emotions are kind of creating and influencing those aches and pains, too. We know that anxiety impacts tension in our body, so a doctor is also a really great place to spot some of those things. We might not understand that in ourselves. And hopefully if we're open and honest about what we're going through, people will say, hey, this is what I'm noticing. Maybe you could get some support mm-hmm. with mental health services, whoever that is.
Yeah, indeed. Sometimes, though, that stress and anxiety comes from visiting the hospital, I'm sorry to say, Robin. How do you get people over that?
Yeah, that's a really also another great question. I think that our folks find that our clinic is really inviting and warm and welcoming. We always have a pot of coffee on, tea ready for folks, and the structure of our setting allows people to really come together and feel that they're not alone. So many of our folks who have successfully moved through the program often say to us, this was such a great place. I was nervous to come, but once I did, I felt like I was amongst people who really understood what I was challenged with, what I was dealing with.
Yeah, that's great to hear.
Yeah, and thinking about white coat syndrome, what we talk about, common experience with patients. So if that's something that you're also struggling with, we know it's important to go to the doctor, but we don't like to go to the doctor. We can kind of work through some of those stressors and triggers and anxieties and help come up with coping skills and then build that confidence that it makes it easier to go when we need to go and when we need to take care of ourselves because we deserve that. It doesn't need to be that hard to get to the doctor. We can get help with that.
Robin?
Yeah, and our program is unique in the region in that we're offering not only the mental health side through therapy, group and individual therapy, but we have nursing oversight, and then we have the medical director is a psychiatrist who folks will have access to once a month for medication management. So when people come to our program, they are really being seen as a whole person and getting their needs met in all of those ways. So it's a really great way, especially if you know someone who's been struggling on some of those fronts, to have access to medical care. Like Haley works so hard to connect and communicate with our providers. So
yeah, Haley, could you talk about that a little bit and the process that you go through as far as working with the primaries?
Well, as Robin said, we kind of see them as a whole. Every day when a person comes in, we're doing an assessment on them. We're checking vitals and just seeing is there anything physically that's alarming that we need to report to a physician right away. So we have that open communication line of, hey, we're seeing this with your patient. Just want to voice that to you. Just having eyes on these people that maybe we're isolating for so long, having eyes on them on a regular basis is just so huge.
It gives them a chance to socialize a little bit too.
Absolutely.
If they live alone or whatever the case might be, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So May Mental Health Awareness Month, what does it mean to you and your profession?
Well, we really try to just, first off, get out in the community. We're always trying to do that so then there's more awareness of our program because it's still not as well known as it should be, which we want to make sure that improves over time. So we host community events, like we'll do bingo at the senior center where we have, you know, goodies for them and prizes, and we'll talk about our program and hand out informational stuff. If anybody does need support, they can always contact us. Things like going on the radio. We have some inter-hospital activities that we'll do for staff there. So quite a bit of planning and fun activities through May. We're pretty busy.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And I think, too, that it's a unique program, as Robin mentioned. What do you think makes it unique? Are you aware of other programs similar to this at other hospitals?
No, not generally. I mean, this is kind of a diamond as a program because you don't see these in rural communities especially. And that's what Senior Life kind of focuses on, is those rural communities, but just that comforting environment for them. Like, the issue is sometimes getting them in the door, the cold feet, but once they're there, they just feel so welcome and feel like they actually have a spot they can feel safe in.
That's good to know. Yeah. Christine, let's talk about some other things. What are some signs where maybe you could pick up on it, like a loved one is struggling?
Yeah, I think it's important to always talk about the signs and symptoms. We don't have to be a mental health professional to notice these things. So I think with especially our population, thinking of seniors, people chalk it up to, oh, this is just aging. But that's the myth in mental health for us. Mental health conditions are treatable and we can provide support. So some things that might kind of look like aging to people, but really is mental health, as Robin kind of talked about some symptoms, is, you know, that withdrawal and isolation and kind of maybe a lower appetite, sleeping more. You know, sleep is, sometimes as we age, we need more sleep. Sometimes we don't need as much sleep. Everyone's a little different, but, you know, changes in our sleep patterns are a really good sign that something might be amiss, and it could be our mental health. Other things like loss of interest, just kind of losing touch with the things that brought us joy, whether that's family events, hobbies, community activities, clubs, sports, all those kinds of things. If you notice someone is kind of pulling back from that, you know, I think it's important to touch base with them. And just general, you know, worrying thoughts. If someone we know, or if we're experiencing those thoughts that just kind of stick with us and can't quite go away no matter how hard we try, it might be a sign that we need a little more help. So anyone can spot some of these things, and it's important to pay attention to them. And that's part of Mental Health Awareness Month, is building awareness of symptoms and how do we say, this isn't just my fault, this isn't just something that's happening, this isn't situational, I need some support. And there's a place that we can get that support.
Robin, how do we encourage people to step forward a little bit?
Yes, I think, I mean, being here listening to each other talk about this, I think about what a great team we have to be a part of. And so we just want to encourage people to come get to know us. We are not scary folks. We really have walked with a lot of folks through their journeys and are here to help. And so taking that first step, maybe it's just the phone call. You'll find a friendly voice on the other end of the line, and we'll make sure that you get connected with any resources that are available.
What message would you like to share with the listeners?
Just that we think taking that step always leads to something better, or can lead to something better. So please don't give up on reaching out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, again, the first step is the tough one there, trying to encourage somebody to get through the doors. You know, I think that's it. And I think they'll find it welcoming and things like that. And then it's probably after that a little bit of peer group, because, you know, you kind of see you guys and, you know, you kind of feel like you belong. Do you have group sessions then and those kind of things?
Yes, we have group sessions 3 times a week, and then we work with folks depending on where they're at with individual sessions, potentially family sessions if they're needed. So,
okay,
yeah.
And in terms of how can people learn more about this, Haley, as you look down the road here, people are listening to this and maybe are interested in it.
Yeah. So, like Robin said, anybody can make a referral. If you know you had a neighbor that you're concerned about, you can always call on them. Our goal, once we get the referrals, I'm going to try to reach out to them within 24 hours just to ensure safety and just see where they're at and what we can do for them right away. You know, if they're not a good fit for us and we can't help them, we're going to make the proper referrals so then they can get help. They also don't need to come to us with any sort of prior mental health diagnoses. Since we have a psychiatrist on site, she will actually do the diagnostic work through the evaluation.
Back in the day, you know, it was kind of like you'd push it down. It was kind of a sign of weakness, I think, to admit maybe that you needed some help, Christine.
Yeah, definitely. It's the common stigma still is persistent in there. It's why Mental Health Awareness Month is so important each year. We're still fighting that, you know, it's just as important as our physical health, and we're just as likely to have issues within our mental health as we are our physical. So there's no, you know, we want to reduce the shame and recognize that it's important to be kind to ourselves, and part of kindness and compassion is seeking out support. The other, you know, thing that I think is wonderful is you don't have to commit to coming to our program if you just want to get some information. We're a very open space, and the process looks different for everyone. And if you just want to learn a little bit, give us a call. We'll happily give you some information and also set up a meeting if you want to talk more. But that doesn't mean you have to commit to anything. You know, it's just a space where we're here to listen and find a way forward and help you do that.
Big population, you know, you look at it, Robin, and in terms of baby boomers, just within a few years, they're all going to be 65 or older. So a lot of people are hitting that age these days.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one unique thing about this program is that it recognizes the fact that this is an underserved population when it comes to mental health. And so to have this kind of program locally is really important. And we hope more people will take advantage of it as they hear about us.
Is 65 like the new 55 or 45, or how do you look at it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Our patients are always like, I'm old. And I'm like, you don't know what old is. Yeah. It's a state of mind, not mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's funny how when you work with this population, your definition of old, I don't even have one, but it definitely changes. You're right. It is shifting. And I think that's another important point is we're aging and we're living longer. So inevitably, like, we're going to run into more challenges in our life. And that means maybe we need some support with our mental health.
Part of the reason why we're living longer is we have better health care.
Yeah.
You know,
speaking of health care, I think it's important to recognize our health care workers in this community and communities all around and how much they support us and what kind of toll that might take on their mental health. They're people too. And so we want to shout out to our fellow healthcare worker friends and encourage them to seek out support. And we're trying to do our best to support them in this month as well. So we're excited about some of the activities that are going on in the hospital, Richland Hospital, this month for building some awareness just for our peers around the profession. So we're excited about that.
I know your staff is actively working toward GRACE, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, collecting shoes and doing all kinds of things, aren't you?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's hard to keep track. There's always so much going on in this community, and I feel so proud to be in it. Everyone is so generous and always willing to give what they can to bring awareness and support to whatever and whomever it is in this community.
And recently we saluted nurses, right? Well, I guess we do that every week, right?
Yeah, it's been Nurses Week, correct? I mean, happy Nurses Week to our nurse over here, Haley.
Haley, happy
yeah,
nurses.
Yeah, good to recognize our nurses and all the hard work they do. And they're so giving and work. They're grueling. So, yeah, we're trying to find ways to give back to them in our hospital. And like I said, we're excited about some of that work we're going to do because we don't always get a chance to connect with each other. We're focused on our patients and our jobs, but, you know, that support when we think about mental health, you know, that takes looking also sideways, right, and looking at the people amongst us and what we're doing to take care of ourselves.
Anything anybody else would like to add here today? We covered it pretty well.
No, we're very thankful for the opportunity to talk about Senior Life Solutions and to encourage folks to think about their mental health this month and to just give themselves some self-kindness and self-compassion as they're moving through their days.
We hope if someone's listening and they have some concerns, just reach out and ask some questions, right?
Yeah, they can reach us at the hospital line, 608-647-6321, extension 2040.
Wonderful. Thanks for coming in today, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Haley Fosterling, Christine Olson, Robin Hausman joining us for today's portion of the morning show, talking about Mental Health Month here and Senior Life Solutions at the Richland Hospital.